sure that the microphone's on.
Good evening. This is our Champaign County Mental Health Board meeting. We're officially calling it to order. I'd like to thank everybody for coming this afternoon. Looks like we have lots of visitors, so we would like to hear from everybody who wants to talk to us today. So after we call the roll, then we'll have some public participation, okay? Okay, Stephanie?
Astrid Berkson.
Here.
Eileen Danavy.
Here.
Bill Gleason.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Dolores Henry.
Here.
Mike McClellan.
Here.
Tom Moore.
Here.
Julian Rappaport. Deborah Townsend.
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Now, if you would like to participate in the public input, just come forward, state your name and address, please.
My name is Gary Maxwell. I'm from Mahomet, and I'm also serving on the Champaign County Board. I thank you for allowing me to speak. Most of you know, or many of you know, that I'm not a great speaker, so I will probably read most of my comments. Members of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, members of the staff, and those in the audience, I appreciate the time and effort you devote to improve the mental health of members of this community for the benefit of the Champaign County citizens. I'm here to speak as a solitary member of the Champaign County Board. My views may not reflect the opinions of the other 21 county board members. I recognize the role of the CCMHB, Champaign Mental Health Board, County Mental Health Board. You are an independent board with the responsibility to allocate resources, prioritize programs, and develop budgets. The Champaign County Board Chair, with the consent of the County Board, appoints members of this board. In addition, the County Board adopts your budget, appropriation, and causes levies to be extended against the real property of Champaign County. Each year, the County Treasurer collects and distributes monies to you for the operation of your programs. I am here to talk about this board's future funding priorities, including but not limited to this afternoon's agenda, old business item 13A, Access Initiative Sustainability. Before I get started, I want to read your mission statement. The mission of the Champaign County Mental Health Board is the promotion of a local system of services for the prevention and treatment of mental or emotional, developmental, and substance abuse disorders in accordance with the assessed priorities of the citizens of Champaign County. The Access Initiative Program concludes September 30, 2014. This board has proposed funding the program from October 1, 2014 and beyond. I am here to ask you to reconsider making this program a part of the FY15 and beyond budget. The County Board has a general policy that it will not fund a grant-driven program once the grant runs out. For example, the board has been very emphatic in this regard concerning the funding of a rural transportation system. While I'm sure the Access program has its supporters, I encourage you to go slow in transferring grant-driven programs to Champaign County property taxpayers. The other issue, which in some ways is related to my concerns with Access and budget priorities, is the need to develop a mental health drop-off center for local law enforcement. I believe there is a need and desire to provide an alternative to the incarceration of mentally disturbed lawbreakers. And I want to emphasize the next sentence. I encourage this board to reprioritize and reallocate your funds during FY15 and beyond in order to provide a mental health drop-off center. I'm talking about all your funds, top to bottom. And I believe funding a mental health drop-off center is part of the core mission of this board and is very much in tune with your mission statement. And I'll try to conclude on a light note. It may not be, but years ago, there was a comedian who proposed a college educational system based upon what a college graduate will remember 5 years post-graduation. And what he laughed about was in many ways true. And I will conclude these remarks by relating to the one thing I remembered from an extensive strategic planning course I took many years ago, and that is, tend to your knitting. I encourage this board to tend to your knitting and focus on your core mission. I submit the development of a mental health drop-off center is very much part of your mission's core. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Do we have other people? Okay.
Hi, my name is Todd Schroll. I'm with Choices here at 102 East Main Street in Urbana. I didn't expect to follow that. I was actually coming to talk to your board about just to say thank you on behalf of our organization and also just to share an opportunity. I'm in discussions with Peter and Tracy around. First, just thank you for your leadership. I actually, you may not be familiar, but I worked with the McHenry County Mental Health Board for many years. I ran a system of care cooperative agreement similar to what you have with the Access Initiative. I actually occupied the role that Tracy does here locally as the project director, and then also served as a year as the executive director of the Mental Health Board as an interim. So I very much appreciate the leadership that you guys have provided in the community through your partnership with the state and the federal government. I appreciate the promotion of those system of care principles. You may or may not be familiar, but there's a lot of movement on a statewide level within child welfare and Medicaid and Division of Mental Health around pushing towards the systems of care and promoting the development of systems of care across the entire state. For many years, we've done system of care initiatives that within local environments, but we haven't necessarily seen statewide change. And there's some big transformation occurring on a statewide level, and Choices has been pulled in to kind of do some care coordination services both with child welfare and with the HFS contract actually in this area, in the four-county area of Champaign, Ford, Iroquois, and Vermilion. So initially when we started working in this community, why I want to thank you is for your leadership, because when we came into this community and began working here, there was already a lot of infrastructure that you've already built, and we're very excited to partner with you around sustainability of the system of care principles and work that you've already put in place. A lot of that, our initial work with Tracy was about workforce development. You have some strong care coordination team members that have joined our team now, so we can sustain a lot of the care coordination you've put together in the last several years. Transitioning youth, we're looking at your youth as you kind of close down some of your care coordination activities. We're working together with Tracy and his team and transitioning those youth. Service development, so we've spent a lot of time. We appreciate the work that you've done around needs assessment and understanding what services have to be developed in the community, where your gaps are. So the youth and family support organizations that you've developed out of the cooperative agreement are now part of our provider network and providing us not only direct services for our families that we're serving in our care coordination pilot, but also doing some planning for us. So the infrastructure you've already built around doing family and youth planning, cultural competency planning, we're leveraging because that's going to help us be successful not only in this county and the counties that are also involved in this pilot, but also on a statewide level. And some of the work you've done in PLL, becoming another service kind of array element within the Choices Care Coordination pilot. So a lot of our success within this area is built upon and predicated upon the things that you've already done. So I thank you for that. I also just want to make you aware that I am meeting with Peter and Tracy over the next couple weeks at HFS, the Medicaid organization within the pilot, has dedicated some additional dollars to this community and the other three counties to really start to build some infrastructure around what services may not exist within the current Medicaid rule. So we're going to start some conversations because where we want to start is really making sure that anything we do as Choices around building additional services and supports within the community is aligned with your Mental Health Board 708 strategic plans. So that's a dialogue that we'll be having over the next couple weeks with your leadership as well as HFS. Specifically with Sean Cole over at HFS, because we really want to make sure that if we can invest in some things in this community, that it makes sure that it aligns with your strategic plan, and it also maximizes the use of dollars both on a state and local level. So, again, thank you, and I look forward to working with you around some opportunities to build some services within the community. So, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Do we have other citizens' participation?
Name's Tim Odom, and and I'm homeless. I just got out of the county jail the 4th of this month. I'd like to start off saying good afternoon to Lady Jimmy of the board. I'm not here to point blame at different organizations and, you know, close doors. But I would appreciate the board to, you know, look deep before they allocate money to different organizations within the county. You know, I got out the 4th. Part of my sentencing order is to get a mental health evaluation. Now, I believe that standard is in the legal system is the mental health evaluation would have been done. That would have been made a part of the court record. And the judge would have ordered for me to do what the assessment was done. That's not the case in my situation. On top of it, the paper that I did get, it said, you know, this is going to help people that was incarcerated integrate back into society. You know, I get one thing done a day. I'm on Social Security disability. When you're incarcerated, they suspend your Social Security disability. Now, I wasn't aware of it at the time, but going to getting an award letter for another program that luckily I run into to assist me in getting a residence, found out that it had been suspended. So I got that took care of. I think that that would typically be something that another organization would have took care of as you come out of incarceration. They would have helped you with that. They would have helped you with a food stamp if your link card had been suspended, and a lot of other stuff. Probably medication, getting a counselor set up. You know, what I had seen in court, that was typically the standard is what went on. The assessment was done. The judge ordered it. There was somebody from the organization standing there. To make sure everything runs smoothly, and then they would have took over the process. The court would order this to go on. In my case, that wasn't what went on. I spoke earlier this month at the board meeting, some of which I recognize was at that meeting. And it was assured that, you know, we don't ban nobody from services. But, you know, clearly, if I'm complaining about the same thing over and over again, that must not be the case, or I wouldn't be complaining about it, and I wouldn't be coming to these board meetings. So, you know, I would just ask that you guys be very careful, and if you're going to allocate money to different organizations, maybe it would be more appropriate to put in there what they need to do and that they cannot discriminate against nobody and ban nobody from services, because the public in general is entitled to the services. You know, I think code of ethics as far as medical people, law enforcement, all this should play into the factor that, you know, we can't ban one person from services. We got to treat everybody equally and give everybody the services they're entitled to, not pick and choose. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Odom? Turn your mic on.
I'm sorry. Mr. Odom?
Yes, sir.
In the interest of full disclosure, Mr. Odom and I have known each other for a number of years, and sometimes we've been in contentious positions, not personally, but because of the things that we were dealing with. What do you feel that you have been banned from?
Well, it was stated at the board meeting that Community Elements does not ban nobody. I've heard it time after time again, and I can show you on my cell phone that I've spoke to several people, and, you know, they all tell me I'm banned. Now, you know, what I was told was, you know, I'm entitled to limited services. But, you know, I made request after request at the county jail. My public defender said, you know, Nancy Griffin will set an appointment up with Community Elements, and, you know, we'll go from there. So you know, to expedite it because I needed a surgery on my right knee. I got a torn meniscus. I was trying to get at to get the surgery done. So I had done request slips. Now, I'm aware that CHC is partly medical, partly mental health. They didn't really want to do nothing as well. So, I mean, I'm not...
Who was that?
CHC, Correctional Health Center. They do partly mental health as well. So I'd done requests to them, but at the same time, I'd done requests to Community Elements. Now, I did see a young woman from Community Elements that sit down and wrote a few things, and then they were supposed to bring a laptop in and finish the process. But later on, after about a week, I had her come back and talk to me. She said, well, you know, her hands tied, I'm not entitled to services through them. So, you know, I've got everything, you know, to back up that I can back up. Anytime anybody from the board wants to see the sentencing order from Judge DeFantis that says, you know, I need to do a mental health assessment within 60 days, I mean, that pretty well speaks for itself, you know.
Well, that, Tim, as you know, I've got some considerable experience in that regard, and that is not unusual. That's certainly, I think it's built into the form. Now, they don't always check that box, but I think had you or your attorney wanted to, you might have got a jump on it by doing an assessment before you finish the case, and I understand that you were trying to get somebody to see you, and that's the part that, that troubles me most right now.
Are you familiar?
Is your focus really on this situation with Community Elements?
Well, you know, that's why I brought up CHC. You know, I'm not just sticking the blame on Community Elements. And, you know, you initiated me to say that, you know, by me blaming or this, that, and the other, that would be closing doors.
Well,
I've experienced that. But when you ask me, I'm not going to sit here and dance around about it.
How long were you in custody?
74 days.
Mr. Odom, I think we're going to have to move on. We have a five-minute limit on public participation, and I would like to invite you to set up a time with me. I'd like to talk to you and hear more about your perspective on what's going on and see what we can do to weave that into our planning process.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. You know, I would like to say, you know, if I could assist in any way as a volunteer, either here or, you know, to assist you on anything at the county jail, I'd be more than happy to do so.
Do you know how to reach Peter Tracy?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Do we have more citizens?
Good evening. I'm Joan Walls, and I serve as the Deputy City Manager for the City of Champaign. The address is 102 North Neal Street in Champaign, Illinois. And I really am here this evening to thank you for your consideration of item 13, which is the Access Initiative Sustainability Plan. The city's been working in conjunction with many intergovernmental partners, including the Mental Health Board staff, working very closely with Tracy Parsons over the past 4 years, really looking at ways how we can really become a stronger community across Champaign-Urbana and the county. And one of the goals of the City Council is to look for ways to sustain the community coalition on a long-term basis. And we actually will, staff will be presenting to our council in January, but the work that we've been doing in partnership with the staff of Mental Health Board and our other intergovernmental partners has been pretty in-depth and really have provided an opportunity for us to look at the many gaps and the voids and how we can pull together as strong entities to really make a difference in our community. And so we're excited about any opportunity there is to improve the lives of youth and family, recognizing that many of the youth and the families, the parents, have so many challenges any opportunity that we can leverage resources, any opportunities that we can look at all agencies across the community to work together is very meaningful. And so our council is definitely committed. We've been working on this for the past 4 years. And I really just wanted to come this evening to, out of respect for you all who's considering this, but also to let you know that we've been meeting for about 4 years with other intergovernmental partners and some agencies on a monthly basis. And we've had some great successes and really had an opportunity to look at other models across the United States. And actually, we were invited to attend a session in Minneapolis that really shows that we are cutting edge. Although we are a small community in Illinois, we're really doing some powerful things. And I think as we move forward and we recognize that there are challenges economically across all organizations and entities and governmental partners, the stronger that we can be collaborating and leveraging our resources, the stronger that we can come together recognizing, identifying those families and those children who have extreme needs. And so we're here. I'm here as a person who's worked very closely with Tracy Parsons. I've worked very closely with Peter, and our city manager also serves on that committee, as well as our superintendents of the school districts. And you know, RPC is at the table. There are many organizations that are around the table that are working hard. And so I just wanted to thank you for considering and also let you know that we will also, as well as the other governmental partners who agreed last month, that we will be bringing some of these decisions forth before our boards at the beginning of the year. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, both the Mental Health Board members and the Developmental Disability Board members. I'm Patsy Petrie, and I am a county board member, and I do reside in Champaign. And several things prompted me to come this evening or late afternoon to speak before you. I did happen to read your agenda, and it is Agenda Item 13A, the Access Initiative, but the overlay of the reason for coming is tomorrow night the county board approves or not the 2015 budget. So the budget issues have been on our minds since about August. And the second is it's becoming extremely clear to all of us on the county board based on studies and comments from our county sheriff that the issue of mental health in our community is of utmost importance. And I would encourage this board to take a really long, hard look at your budget for 2015, because we, as a community, because of what the state has done in cutting back any facilities or help for mental health, need to refocus ourselves to how we are going to offer services and a facility for those individuals that have mental health problems. Because as our sheriff has mentioned several times at our county board meetings, their place is not in our jail. We need other facilities for these individuals. And this is a very serious budgetary issue. And you all are the Mental Health Board, and this comes under your purview of the monies that come to you through property taxes for you all to put this on your agenda and have serious consideration about this. And one of the items, this access initiative, I did notice when I read the documentation that one of the arguments is that hiring two individuals to continue this program is revenue neutral. Well, having just gone through the huge process of our own county budget, nothing is revenue neutral. Money gets taken from one place to take care of something else. And as my colleague, Mr. Maxwell, did point out, the county board tends not to vote positively in the direction of using county monies to sustain a grant at the time the grant runs out. So I really encourage you all to step back and relook at the allocation of all these funds. We pass along to the two boards over $7 million plus dollars, and that is quite a bit of money, and some of that does need to be redirected to a mental health drop-off center. Now I'm taking off my county board hat, and I'm just John Q. Public. As I was trying to read the agenda packet for this evening, I would like to leave a suggestion as somebody who is trying to learn what was happening at this meeting. It would be really helpful for the reader and John Q. Public if there was continuous pagination in the packet and if the pages of the different agenda items were noted next to those agenda items. As one is trying to thumb through this, especially electronically, it does become discouraging, especially to anybody in the general public who really just wants to educate themselves about what's happening at this meeting and maybe doesn't have the stick-to-itiveness of members of the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Patty?
Oh, yes.
I think it was just at the last meeting when we were discussing this, and as close as I could come at that moment off the top of my head was something like the churches that used to provide shelter overnight, and I think we focused on the McKinley Presbyterian, and they were very well known for doing that, and that was off the top of my head the only sort of thing that I could think of that we could start this drop-off right now. And I don't think they would be likely to go along with it, but I don't know for sure. We're still discussing it. I think my feeling is that you'd have to have a mental health professional available on site if you're going to treat it as a mental health drop-off. And my question for you and for your colleague here.
Well, and Ms. Berkson, she's also on the county board.
And I've served on boards in the past, and we have no voice as individuals, and I understand that you're not here speaking for the county board.
No, I am not.
But what do you, when you talk about this, and obviously you have, what do you envision? I mean, I don't think among us we can build a ground-up facility for this. At times in the past, in different roles, I've tried to encourage using buildings that were available to very little avail, and those buildings are now gone, like the old sheriff's residence and jail and the building that was across the street from them. So what is your thought as to what this facility would look like?
I know it's limited to 5 minutes. May I respond?
Well, that doesn't count if I ask a question.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. Some of the conversation, and I leave it with you all to put in your tickler file to kick around, is presently it appears that movement is to amalgamate the jails out at the satellite jail. That leaves us with an empty building right across from the courthouse, the downtown jail, which, because of its approximation to the courthouse, in addition, the new plans going on, or conversations, I should say, going on between MTD and Urbana for a transportation center in Urbana. There are a lot of things coming together which we all should be talking about in relationship to how the downtown jail as a possibility can be converted into not only a drop-off center, but in addition, space-wise, that it could also be set up so that many of our social service agencies could begin to occupy that space. This would be a wonderful repurposing of that building, and it's with the conversation have been involving how one does it with a professional staff, as you just alluded to. So I leave you with that and hope that opens up some brainstorming.
Bringing that up, you remind me that many years ago there was some, and this is before I was involved with this board or anything, but there was some discussion about using the former Burnham City Hospital such, and we know what happened to it. So, I'm glad that you've come and brought this out, because these are things that we should be aware of and we need to discuss. But I, in terms of Urbana and the MTD and all of that, that's news to me.
So. Well, and to go back even further, there was a group of us many decades ago now that tried to buy the Penny's building, which is now the News Gazette building.
Another gone building.
And the purpose of trying to buy that was to create a centralized location for the social service agencies to be in one spot. And the reason for targeting that building was the transportation center that had recently been built in downtown Champaign, making it easier for people via bus transit to get to these services rather than having them scattered all over the community, as is still the case. Okay. So that is some of the background thinking on it.
Thank you very much. Susan, would you like to make a comment?
Yes, I'd just like to make a brief comment. I think that this is a critical issue, and I hate to see it as a mental health drop-off versus access. We need a mental health drop-off. If I had not 2 weeks ago had the Times Respite Center to drop my son off after he had a very difficult mental health episode and was not allowed to stay at Provena or Presence or whatever it's called, I would have had to take him to the jail.
Yes.
So we're desperate. This is not really a one issue versus another issue. We do need to do some planning. I don't think we can solve it today during the board meeting, but it absolutely is an issue in this community. There is no place to go. And now that it's below zero at night, it's getting even more life-threatening.
It is, and I didn't, the homeless don't fall under your purview, but I don't mean that we don't need to focus on those. And a representative of the sheriff's office is in the back of the room. I don't mean to speak solely for the sheriff, but this is what we've heard at county board meetings. Thank you very much.
Well, many of the homeless do have mental health issues. And so they
Of course, there is an intersection. Yes, absolutely.
We have one comment for you, Gary.
May I respond to Mr. McClellan's comment and
yes,
question?
Sir.
We don't envisionize this as being a very cheap program.
I'm sorry.
So this will not be a cheap program. We don't envisionize it will. It will take a lot of money, and it will take a great deal of help from this board. But somewhere along the way, we've got to start the process.
I wonder if, and I'm sure that you guys are way ahead of this, but I wonder if there would be Justice Department grants that might be available to put into something like this.
I don't know. I'm sure that we will be looking at things like that as we go forward. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Alan Jones. I'm the Chief Deputy at the Sheriff's Office. I can't, at this point in time, take off my uniform and speak individually, so I will speak for the sheriff and I and the conversations that we've had. As you know, it's your last meeting. I was here to speak with you about the progress of CIT and the programs that we had. One of the points that we made on behalf of the sheriff's office and law enforcement and the jail, both responses, is that we have built heavy back-end services once they get to jail and they have to figure something out. And at this point in time in the community, we seem to be lacking that interim place that's been referenced between the two. We are not here to, and it seems like it is a one initiative versus another. That's not the conversation I'm having here. But I remind the board, or this board, that we do appreciate the money that's going into where it is now, and we don't want that to change. We think there's an absolute need. There is a continued voice that I've heard in context and in regards to what we can possibly expand. and do and have available to law enforcement, which ultimately means available to the citizens, because we're the ones that are at the front end, if you will, of the calls in the evening or late at night when there's nowhere else to go. Sheriff Walsh and I have had a phone conference with Mr. Tracy here a week or two ago. I don't know if he's had a chance to brief any of you individually or as a group about some of the conversations, but we do have a vision. And it is very much similar to, not so much a drop-off center, we don't want to be a cold word or term, but a place where services can be provided. You've seen models of that in the Bexar County model. Peter and our conversations went to something very similar in Salt Lake City. My importance and the relevance of my conversation is it needs to be something that can be located here, similarly situated size and context. And my encouragement for the discussion is to let you know that there are visions out there, there are plans, and at the Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Walsh has given me the authority and the flexibility to participate in trying to come up with a solution. We have had conversations with Mr. Tracy and are very much interested in this board directing this staff to be involved in this, and we'll be glad to play a role in that and to assist. And I've held meetings with our Council of Homeless Providers before, and I meet individually with others in the community, including I've met with Mr. Rappaport from your board. So there's a movement afoot out there, and your involvement can kind of fund it, because we don't have the money or the building or the policy to do that. But I've got ideas and been given time and opportunity, and wanted to make sure that you were aware that there is some people and places ready to make something happen if that can get going. Okay?
Thank you.
How about Jolly Roger?
Again, I'm not into buildings or funds, but I'll give my time and efforts, I guarantee it.
Okay, Tom?
Madam Chairman, I wonder if we might want to put this on our agenda for some time in the future to discuss. It seems to me that our agenda for tonight, which includes the Access Initiative, is a project that we have, as Ms. Walls indicated, it talked about for at least the last 4 years, and Access itself is part of a grant that lasted 6 years, and it took 2 years of writing before that. So there's been a lot of time and energy gone into this this concept, and it didn't just drop on us just the last couple of days. And I think for us to be, dissuaded from doing that when we've put in so much time and energy, and also, if you want to think about it, the last 6 years have been an experiment which have said to us that this kind of project for families and youth and community is absolutely needed. If we put the drop-off center on our agenda, that we can give that the same kind of consideration and see somewhere down the line if in fact it fits in with what we our resources and who get all the other players around the table to talk about it, as we have already done with Access Initiative. I'm glad to hear that we're not talking about it either or, that we're not weighing which mental health concerns are most important, but we can only do so much, and we do have a plan, at least that includes Access Initiative. I've been on this board for years, and this is the first time that I've heard that this should be our responsibility. If it is, then let's plan that in the same way that we've planned Access Initiative and put it on the board and have some, not serious, but some kind of legitimate, intentional discussion about that, as opposed to disrupting what we've already come about.
Thanks. Okay. We can do that. Thank you, Tom. Now, do we have other public participation? Okay.
Good evening. My name is Claudia Lenhoff, and I'm the Executive Director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. And I wanted to come and speak to you briefly today because I wanted to thank you. This is a long overdue thank you, but I wanted to thank you for funding the collaboration between healthcare consumers, community elements, and the Sheriff's Department and the Champaign County Jail. which allows my organization to provide our advocacy, application, enrollment, and case management services to the folks in the Champaign County Jail while they're in the jail and then also when they do get out. We are grateful for the vision of Chief Deputy Alan Jones and the Sheriff's Department, the Mental Health Board, and community elements which gave rise to this collaboration. I think this kind of collaboration where we can bring together organizations so that they can do what they do best in service of helping our community members is exactly the kind of direction we need to go in to strengthen our community. I know you get reports and see the numbers, but I wanted to tell you a little bit more of the story about what we're doing, which may not be obvious from the numbers of the people who we are serving. And then I want to conclude by sharing some thoughts with you about the future. I'm really excited about this program, and I think it's going well, but it does give rise to some thoughts for the future. But in terms of the program, I think hopefully most of y'all know that our role in the jail is to receive referrals from community elements intake staff, and then we work with those folks who we get referrals from to help them to find out if they need or want certain kinds of help, including help applying and qualifying for health insurance. So we end up doing a lot of Medicaid enrollments, which in the beginning were really tough to do, but with the help from the sheriff's, the jail staff, we're actually able to start the enrollment process while folks are in the jail if they're going to be released soon. So we do health insurance enrollment, food stamps, hospital financial assistance. We find that a lot of folks do have medical debt and that they are unaware of financial assistance and that debt has kept them from seeking services when they've needed that. So that's really helpful. And we also help them once they get out to obtain dental care and other services they need once they're out. For each client we work with, we typically end up doing more than one application. It might not be one at the same time. It might be one in the jail, and then they get out, and then they come to us, and then it might be multiple applications. One of the things that I did want to mention just from the front lines is you might see the number of Medicaid applications, but in the beginning, because the state didn't get the Medicaid expansion right, each application sometimes could end up taking hours and hours and hours of case management and follow-up. Things are working better now, but that was really rough in the beginning and very labor-intensive. Now, of course, with the expanded Medicaid, we're moving into Medicaid managed care, and so folks are coming back to us and they're needing help understanding managed care and choosing a plan that's best for them and so on. So there's a lot of return clients needing help. One of the things that I wanted to mention that's sort of a bonus for the clients and also for you as funders is that a lot of the people we work with, even once they're enrolled in health insurance, prescriptions are unaffordable to them. Those copays, even though they may be small, can make prescriptions unaffordable, or they need their prescriptions and Medicaid hasn't kicked in yet. And so we have a small prescription fund that we're able to use where we can write a check to the pharmacy and help the person until their insurance kicks in. So there's just a lot of work that goes in behind the numbers, and I want to do a better effort of keeping you all involved and maybe showing you some of the, some examples of the work that's happening. But now, just thinking ahead, thinking about how we can continue to build on the success and promise of this program, I have three thoughts that I wanted to share for your consideration and discussion at a later time. And I know this is going to sound like I'm here asking you for more money, which, of course, I would love, but I actually genuinely mean this. One of the things that would be really helpful would be a multi-year funding approach, if that were possible for programs like this. Local nonprofits like ours struggle to keep what we have in terms of our existing funding. We struggle with capacity. Organizations are very lean on administrative costs, and many of us have reduced our administration in order to accommodate increasing programmatic needs. Multi-year funding would allow more stability, greater ability to perhaps secure additional funding, attract additional funding, and also allow us better planning, and it would also allow us to build the workforce that is doing that work. Those frontline staff people are really, really important for the success of the program. That is where trust is developed between the person seeking services and the organizations that are helping them. And then my second thought is that although more people are getting Medicaid coverage, we should not assume that Medicaid is enough to fund services provided in our community. Illinois routinely ranks 45th to 49th in Medicaid provider reimbursement. And in fact, our Medicaid reimbursement is so low that the state of Illinois allows nonprofit hospitals to claim services provided to Medicaid beneficiaries towards their charity care, which then earns them their property tax exemptions. I am so afraid of crucial mental health services, the very same services that our clients are able to get now and get connected with, going away if local funding dries up under the illusion that Medicaid is taking care of everything now. It is not. More people having Medicaid and health insurance is a good thing, but we still need to maintain and build the capacity of our provider organizations. And every single community health need assessment lately has identified access to mental health services as a top priority. My last suggestion or hope, I guess, is I would really welcome the opportunity for all parties in this collaborative that is working to serve justice-involved clients to be able to have a debrief or a roundtable discussion to talk about how it's going, lessons learned, and ideas we have to build on and improve what we have started here. And it would be great if leaders from Mental Health Board, Community Elements, Healthcare Consumers, the jail, and the frontline staff could get together for a meeting like that. I would be excited to see what we could come up with. Anyway, I look forward to ongoing conversations, and again, I just wanted to thank you. I know this is an unusual collaboration, but I really appreciate the opportunity to serve our community in this way.
Thank you very much. Do we have other citizens' input? Okay, well, Tom?
Yeah. Ms. Linhoff, can you pass those suggestions on to us somehow? Or have you already done so? Maybe you've already done so, I don't know. Can you do that?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so I apologize, but in the interest of our schedule, I'm going to jump around in the agenda. So we need to skip to number 6 to approve the minutes from October 22nd, 2014 meeting.
Moved.
It's been second. Moved and second. Are there any comments or corrections? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of approving, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it looks like they got approved. We could take agency information if anybody had anything they wanted to share really quickly.
Hi, I actually have a handout, so I'm gonna. I'm Sheila Ferguson. I'm the CEO of Community Elements. A couple months ago, Peter Tracy and I were talking about the funding and what's happened to the funding over the last decade. And so as part of that and the work that I do at the state level, I worked with IARF, which is the Illinois Association of Rehabilitation Facilities, a trade organization, which I'm also the secretary, and worked alongside of them to look at historical trend lines for funding. And I found it to be a very important thing to share with you tonight. And it is a 4-page document, so I'm gonna cover it fairly quickly. But first, I wanna apologize. This is the coldest this room has ever been, and it's a bit shivery, so bear with me. The front page shows the GRF spending from fiscal year 04 through fiscal year 15, and I think it is very telling if you look and see what's happened to community mental health services in this state over that period of time. You see that declining and very steep downward trend and a slight increase out of that over the past couple of fiscal years. And so the points under that are really to talk about what's happened in terms of the GRF spending, which has decreased 28% between fiscal year 06 and fiscal year 15. And when you look at the requests, again, the fiscal year 15 is under-appropriated by 16% or $51 million at this point in time. Medicaid fee-for-services have not increased in terms of the rates noticeably at all since 2002, while meantime inflation by 30%. We talked a little bit at the CIT meeting about the lawsuits that are really driving some of the changes. And in fact, you can see that the increases that you see in the trend line are related to the state of Illinois having to react to lawsuits placed against them, so very specific services for very specific populations. As a result of the Medicaid expansion, though, this is the point that really most community agencies are talking about right now, is that we are expected to serve more individuals with no additional investment to hire, train, or support staff over time, which is evident from the historical turnover and current inability of CMHS providers to offer payer benefits equal to or comparable to managed care and government positions. In fact, I know I've talked with many of you about the fact that we can't retain staff because they're being recruited away at a higher rate than we can within the managed care and with also within the state and governmental agencies such as the veterans. And locally, our trends within the agency itself are very similar, and so I put some of the trend lines that we've experienced over the course of FY7 through FY14. And so you can see our MRO client fees have actually steadily declined during that period of time. So have our grants, although we have some fluctuations in grants due to 1 year funding for specific populations, and we have to build in our, you know, our own diversified funding to make this all work. The demand for community mental health services and wait lists are high. Our funding is largely dependent on Medicaid managed care and grants that really range from 1 to 3 years of duration. But I do want to say there's been some positive fluctuations in our funding, but those have been really for very target populations with specific services and programs. And then the other thing that we pride ourselves in is we end up trying to make sure that we cover all of our costs by reducing our administrative fees, and ours are the lowest, certainly in our area, at a little bit under 12%, but 12% rounded up here. So I wanted to just give this to the group and then also say some of the things and some of our thoughts going into fiscal year 15. There will be massive changes, of course, among the state of Illinois in terms of a new governor, some of the changes in the department heads. We're waiting for those decisions, but it'll be a slow start this year. And what will happen in the case that income tax increase is not sustained, we're already sort of waiting to hear what those cuts will be for the rest of FY15. And they're predicted to be anywhere between 10 and 25%. There's a big Medicaid waiver called the 1115 waiver, which has to do with the Medicaid expansion, and there's a lot of talk going on about how that will affect organizations and agencies. We believe that at this point in time, of course, that there isn't adequate appropriations for the remainder of fiscal year 15 for human services as a whole, and so what will happen with 15 really kind of ties to what will happen with 16 as the new governor takes control. So the last page was really just a little bit about what's happening locally, and one of the things that was very pronounced this morning at our CIT meeting was the increase in violence for both juveniles and adults. And I think it's really important that we not lose sight of what's happening in terms of our own identification of needs, both within our organization, and I, you know, certainly many of you serve on those committees that look at the needs of the community with as it relates to housing, vocational supports, no local detox, no drop-off center, no mental health court. There are a lot of items that remain to be solved, or at least have creative solutions generated amongst groups of us. At Community Elements, we definitely see a spike in the need for crisis intervention and services. The statistics for October alone showed 19 admissions to the Crisis Respite Center, and 150 crisis assessments done face-to-face with people who are needing that level of care and intervention. That is considerable, so 24-hour service, and you're seeing like a spike in that, so the community being aware of it, and then knowing that when somebody's in crisis and services have been identified, there are waiting lists for everything. Even within the community elements, teams and services, we see a wait list and counseling of 80 adults and 20 children. Case management, there are 89 people waiting for case management services, 176 waiting for psychiatry. And our specialized housing, and I know, you know, in terms of an overview, we have about 155 to 165 housing placements that Community Elements is responsible for. And that is a lot more than 10 years ago, but it has been stagnant. We haven't been able to add to that. So they're all full and waiting. And so, again, just kind of covering some of the issues that, you know, I know we've talked about, but I tried to put in this document so we can begin a discussion of how to solve some of those issues and then look at the funding and seeing what's ahead of us. So thank you for allowing me to have a few minutes.
Thank you, Sheila. Any other agencies? Okay. Then we'll move on, and we need to accept the financial claims. It's been moved and second.
Sure.
Are there questions or corrections? Okay. All in favor of accepting the financial claim, please say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Okay, looks like we accepted them, Nancy. Now we can move on to new business. Under agenda item 12A, we're deferring that until a future meeting. So we can go to agenda item 12B, which is in our packet, is the out-of-cycle request for funding. And this is an action item. So Peter, would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Basically, this is related to the request we had to look at excess revenue and the UP Center's asking us to consider an out-of-cycle request. And we're recommending that we stick to our policy and not approve any outside out-of-cycle requests at this time. Basically, we think that we do have some excess revenue coming in, but we have a lot of pressure, at, as you have heard tonight, related to all of the different needs that are out there. And so we want to stick with that, and that's what we're proposing. And it would be helpful to have a motion to approve this, and then we can go to discussion.
It's been moved by Susan, second by Island. Now discussion. Questions? Okay, it's been moved in second. So do we need a roll call?
No.
Okay. All in favor of this new policy governing out-of-cycle funding requests? To deny it, yes. We need, if you are in favor, say aye.
Aye.
To deny. Mm-hmm. We're denying it.
The motion is to deny consideration of out of funding requests for during FY15.
So if you are voting to deny such requests, yes, vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then it's been accepted. Okay, the next one is old business, the Access Initiative Sustainability. This is an action item also. It's been talked about quite a bit. So, Peter, do you have?
Yeah, I just want to give you a little bit of an overview to the board. And I think that, you know, Susan really hit it on the head, and I think someone else said this. This, as far as I'm concerned, this is not about dismantling one program for another. The Access Initiative is about youth mental health. The jail issues are about adult mental health. And, I think that everybody agrees we need to look at what we can do to deal with the jail thing. So, I don't think it shouldn't be a decision one against the other. I want to remind people that this is the sixth and final year of the cooperative agreement, and that this agreement requires a sustainability plan to assure that the system of care continues after September 30, 2015. We, in response to that, we put together a board committee that included Dr. Julian Rappaport, Dr. Tom Moore, Mark Driscoll, and myself. And the recommendations that are included in this decision memo come from that committee. This has been presented as a briefing memo last month at the October 22nd meeting, just to make sure people were aware that it was coming. This plan has been reviewed and approved by the Illinois Department of Human Services contract manager and will meet our obligations to the state and the feds. The plan includes six components, which are in the form of recommendations in the decision memo. I am requesting that the board approve and ratify these recommendations as developed by the ad hoc committee. This plan is budget neutral, and I want to refer you to, this is this budget document here has some places that are marked in yellow. And basically, by budget neutral, we have $534,000 that are focused on children's mental health through the Access Initiative. At the end of as of September 30, the first three items that are in yellow at the top of the list that are currently with Don Moyer go away. So that money that becomes available to support our efforts to continue the foundation that's been laid with the Access Initiative. So we are not asking to take money from anywhere else. We're asking to use money that Access has already been committed to Access. The components of the program of the recommendations, the six, are to transition the project director to a permanent full-time CCMHB position as the manager of our effort to serve multi-system involved youth. This would be include managing the Champaign County Community Coalition, and I want to point you, this is the document, the coalition document. It has been this used to be the city of Champaign driven. It's now Champaign County driven, and Tracy Parsons and the Access Initiative are managing this process at this point. He is the lead in this process. And this is the system of care. This is the structure for the macro portion of the system of care. We're also talking about transitioning the Access Initiative Cultural and Linguistic Competence Coordinator to a full-time CCMHB position. And this is to continue the work that we are doing to try to make sure that minority populations in Champaign County have better access to services. And this is a huge problem, not only here, but it's a problem nationally. And this is our effort to address that. We also want to ensure that the continuation of services for youth that are involved with Access Initiative, and Mr. Parsons has been working on and will continue to work with Choices, Parenting with Love and Limits, to make sure that kids that are involved with Access and their families get continued services after the initiative goes away. The last two components are the youth and the family components. Access Initiative is youth-driven, family-driven and youth-guided. And these two entities that we have currently built need to be sustained and continued, and that would also be under Mr. Parsons' responsibility. And then the last item, number six, is that the Illinois Department of Human Services has received an expansion grant for Illinois to promote system of care throughout Illinois. And I have to tell you that, in my opinion, that one of the reasons we got that is because of the Access Initiative being here in Illinois. And so as a result of that, I think we have a responsibility to support what the state is doing, and that would be, and they have asked that Mr. Parsons continue to serve as on the executive committee of that project. So that's my overview. I could go into it more. You can read the different components, and I think it would be good to have a motion to approve the six recommendations and then have discussion.
Okay.
We approve the six recommendations.
Second. Okay, it's been moved in second. Now we have lots of questions and we can have lots of discussion.
I kind of think I understand the funding issues. But could you just state again, when the initiative goes away, is the county going to have to actually come up with new additional money? How is it going to be funded after September of 2015.
Yeah, that's on the budget sheet that you have there.
I don't doubt it, but okay. I don't always interpret them appropriately.
the items that are highlighted in yellow are, and if you look down that column, it's under Tier 2. We commit $534,000 to support the Access Initiative. And that money includes a number of things that are going to go away as of September 30th. And that's primarily the top three items there, the community home, the engagement and social marketing, and the trauma training. And what will happen then, that would be, we would be able to fund the positions out of that $534,000. We would fund the family organization, the youth organization, and basically anything else that we think is useful to support the children's mental health process for, which is primarily directed at minority populations. So we're not gonna add any money, and we can do it with what we're spending, is what we're saying. Yes.
So just to follow up with Mike's question, I don't understand what it means that community home, the engagement and social marketing and the trauma training are going away. Are they programs that have completed their lifespan? Are there other fundings for those?
Well, the community home is essentially the location for the delivery of services to families and youth. When the grant goes away,
the Access Grant,
the Access Initiative grant goes away as of September 15th, we are not going to continue the services that were provided in that location. That would be Choices is going to be assuming that, and also we'll use PLL as a method to deal with that. So these were things that were directly related to the requirements of the cooperative agreement with the state of Illinois and the feds.
And they're being absorbed by other mechanisms in our community, or they're no longer needed?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mostly they're being absorbed.
Absorbed.
Okay, Deb.
I got it. I just have a question about recommendation number 2. The fourth line from the bottom uses the word intentionally underserved minority populations. I don't understand what that means. Could somebody explain that, please?
Which one, number 2?
Yeah. It's on number 2, right down here.
I see it now.
Yeah. I just don't know what that means.
I'm sorry, what line is that?
Fourth from the bottom.
Well, I think that, if you look at the Surgeon General's report, yeah. I think that some agencies avoid serving minorities and don't do a good job serving minorities is the bottom line there. And I think that Chandra is suggesting that it is an intentional avoidance.
Here in this county as mm-hmm. well. Thank you.
Tracy, you want to help me?
Maybe I would just say that differently. It's not intentionally don't serve. I would say it's make sure the intention is to serve. So I would just offer that distinction.
Okay. But I also think that that people are intentionally not served, that some populations are avoided.
I think this Access Initiative and the way where it's being proposed to become the sustainable program may be difficult for people to understand, because it has, as a systems of care, it's an innovative program. And I think Mr. Schroll spoke to that in his earlier comments. This is not treating what we call mental health in the same way that we have done traditionally. It offers what might be considered a more prevention strategy, and hopefully, and I would guess Mr. Parson can speak to this if he'd like, hopefully the success of this program would mean that we would need we would have less and less need for a drop-off program because we would be intervening in kids and families' lives earlier on to prevent that from happening. But, you know, there's a sense of being innovative that strikes me. It has something to do with when you talk about mental illness and mental health, there is a cultural aspect to it. And I don't mean culture in the way that we have to get people to think positively about underserved people. Sometimes human beings' behavior becomes expected. It becomes stereotyped. And when we're trying to intervene in those situations, a lot of times what we have to do is to change people's attitudes and expectations of others. And one of the things that Access Initiative has done, it's focused on bringing those situations to the fore, and we treat them that way. It's not unheard of that when cultural expectations of another actually mesh the individual's expectations, then we get a different kind of behavior. And I think that it might be difficult for people to understand this initiative because it does hit very heavily on being a preventive program, and it deals with changing the way we view our citizens altogether. And I think when we talk about behavioral change, we end up getting a different kind of behavioral change when we end up at that level. And I think that this is innovative, and this will take us a long way into improving the people's behavior and their care in a system of care from us.
Thank you, Tom. Do we have, Asterisk?
I've heard so many people that I respect say what a wonderful program this is. I'm willing to support it. But I still don't know enough about it, and I hope you will get someone to straighten up the internet descriptions and so that the board members can look up the Access Initiative and find out what it does. Yes, I know Chandra gave a wonderful report. I think I know what she does, but the Access Initiative, it just you can't go to the internet and find out.
Well, I'm sure we can work on that. Do we have other, Bill, do you have any comments? I haven't heard from you tonight. Susan?
My only question, now that I know where the part of the money is coming from, is as we look into the future, you know, 5 years down the road, how long is our commitment to sustaining the 6 recommendations? Is it something that will be reviewed at a future point in time, let's say in 5 years or 10 years, to evaluate the continuing success or the need, or when physicians become internal to the Mental Health Board? I don't know if that means that they're permanent positions with lifetime tenure or, you know, exactly. Right, well, University of Illinois almost. So, but not completely. So if you could speak to what the long-term implications are. It's revenue neutral for next year. Long-term, what does it mean?
Well, that's a tough question. I think that that would be permanent positions with the board, just like any of our others. And this board is responsible for defining what our administration looks like. And so I think that the board does have the capacity to reduce. You know, you do the budget. I mean, if there are less positions, you will make that decision. I mean, it's. The positions are, I think, are probably the most solid long-term commitment. Everything else is you know, basically part of our annual funding cycle.
So revenue neutral for the coming year, but a definite long-term commitment into the future.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I think that this, as Tom said, this has gone back, you know, we go back almost 10 years right. working on this kind of thing. And I think that this is a huge problem. We've been working with the most difficult kids, and primarily minority populations. And I think it's important for us to have a sustained commitment to that population.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, particularly with the revenue neutral. Thank you very much.
Okay, do we have other comments or questions? Do you have anything, Mike? Okay. Then I guess we're ready to vote.
Island Danovy?
Yes.
Bill Gleason?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Mike McClellan?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Bergson?
Yes.
Okay, so it looks like it was unanimous. Now we're
moving on to the 3-year plan, 1-year objective.
This is an annual process. It was released in September. We did get some comments and as best we could incorporated changes into the document in response to the public comment we got. It's before the board for action to approve the plan.
Okay, we need a motion to approve and a second, please. It's been moved by Island and second by Tom. Now, we're open to suggestions, questions?
Yes.
Okay. Susan? Push it hard.
Hard. No.
Pushing it pretty hard.
Thank you. I just wanted to go back and make sure that, given our earlier discussion this afternoon about interest in adding to a future agenda the discussion of the drop-off center, if that is in any way hindered by approving a 3-year plan, or if we have the flexibility to add into our plan discussions about something like the emergency drop-off mental health center. So I want to be clear, since I'm still relatively new to the board, what it means if we approve this 3-year plan.
Lynn would like to speak to that.
That is, Mark might want to speak to this too, but there is language in there about our relationships to the National Association and state associations, and we have opportunities within the next few months to contribute to legislative agenda for each. And the hot topic everywhere seems to be criminal justice, mental health. So we're already working on a lot of that. Do you want to?
Yeah, I think if you refer, it's on page 6 of the plan, goal number 8 at the bottom. That speaks to the goal is reduce involvement of target populations in the criminal justice system. I think you would find under their objectives that would where the recovery center or drop-in center would fall, so that the objective, I think certainly the second one, I believe, would address that. It doesn't specifically say recovery center.
No, but it does say to divert people with behavioral needs from incarceration. Yes. So that, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, other comments or questions? Okay, we're ready for the vote. If you're in favor of approving our 3-year plan with 1-year objectives, say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Okay, looks like It's approved. Congratulations. Okay, now we have one more agenda item that we will deal with tonight. It's the FY 2016 allocation criteria that's in your packet. Are you speaking about that, Mark?
Sure, I can. I think Peter was going to handle that.
Okay. But
well, basically, this is what you saw last month. We made some, we tweaked it, and I think it should be relatively quick. It includes the focus on juvenile mental health as well as the adult mental health, and I think it is, you know, allows us to begin conversations about the concept of a drop-off center. Yes. And other options related to the criminal justice system.
Yes, we did add language under priority number 4 in response to the presentation we heard last month on criminal justice and mental health, and that proposals to develop a plan for establishing a recovery center would be accepted under this priority. That certainly doesn't preclude the board from having an ongoing discussion on the subject.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved in second, so do we have other comments? Can we move to accept it? Do we have a motion? She moved. Did we have a second? Island, did you second? Okay. So now we just need to vote unless we have other comments about this. So if you're in favor of approving the 2016 allocation criteria, say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? So hearing no opposition, then it's been approved. Thank you.
If it gets any longer, we won't be able to read it anymore.
So now we, you can read the other things in your packet. It's the CCDDB allocation criteria and an update on the Disability Resource Expo. Real quickly, we don't have any more board announcements, do we, Mike? Okay. I need a motion and a second to adjourn. So move second, third, fourth. Okay. This meeting's over at 6 o'clock p.m.
Way to go, the board.
Madam Chairman, that was a wonderful job. For those of you who are on the Developmental Disability Board, we got started 15 minutes late because of the microphones, and we had a lot of public comment.
We meet